You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 67. I have a guest on the show today, Renee. Renee has an extraordinary dream, great recall, lots of it's a big adventure. And she wakes up laughing because the end of the dream is very, very funny. It's deeply revealing, and there's lots and lots and lots for everyone to learn from sharing Renee's dream and interpretation. So I know that you're going to enjoy that. Lots of wisdom in it as well. It's fantastic. And when we've finished talking with Renee, I'm going to bring you an update from a previous podcast guest, and that's Margaret. Margaret was my guest in episode 55, and she's got some wonderful stuff to bring us about what's happened to her since she was a guest on the show and since she did at Alchemy. So hang in there after Renee's interpretation in Alchemy to find out what happened for Margaret. And first up then, here's Renee. Welcome to the show, Renee. How's your day been?
Oh, very good. Very good. Thank you.
I think you're at the opposite extreme temperature-wise to us at this time of year.
We are. It's about 98 here.
I'd like some of that today. That would be very nice. You'd probably like some of what we've got today.
Not at all.
Okay. Dream-wise, what have you got for me?
Okay. I was in this dream to where I was in a church, and I'm walking past my daughter. She's about 3 or 4 years old, and I see her sitting on the church bench, and I'm trying to walk past her because I don't really want her to notice me. But she notices me, and she comes through the people, and she lifts her arms up for me to pick her up. So I pick her up, and we go to the front of the church, and there's my husband is in the front of the church, and it just happens to be a professional football player, Reggie Bush. And she gives him a kiss, and I'm like, oh, that's so cute, you know, a father and daughter moment. So I take her back down the aisle, and I'm hugging her, and I'm telling her how much I love her and how I adore her, and I just love to be with her. So all of a sudden, the church changes, and what was the front of the church is now the back of the church. My deceased grandmother and my deceased great aunt are sitting in the back of the church, and my daughter reaches over, and she gives them a hug and a kiss, and I'm like, oh, that's so cute. So all of a sudden, I'm in my childhood home, and I'm upstairs in the living room, and there's lamps lit in the living room. And all of a sudden, this mist fog type stuff comes bouncing through the living room. And I know it's going to hurt me because I've seen what it does. It reminds me sort of like the Grim Reaper. And I've seen what it does. So I started bracing myself. It jumped on my hand and it starts like trying to rip my hand off. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's real. It's real. So I start walking through the living room. And I'm trying to get this thing off my hand. So I calmed down and I started praying and I started speaking in like a soft tone. And then all of a sudden it released most of my fingers, but it still had my thumb. So I'm like, okay, oh my God, this is real. It's real. So I run through my brother's old room into my old room, and my sister's sitting on the bed, and I said, it has my thumb. It has my thumb. And she's not paying any attention to me at all. She kind of just ignores me. So I sit down on the bed and it goes away. So I'm looking out the window, and all of a sudden there's this gold writing in the sky, and it's words like calamity and World Trade Center and disaster, anything that had to do with like a main disastrous event it had in the sky. So I got scared and I stopped looking. So then I looked back out the window because I was curious to what the sky had to say again. So I looked back out, and all of a sudden the same kind of words are there. They're moving much faster, but they're getting smaller. And this huge water bearer symbol is all of a sudden appears in the sky, and it's like a still image. It's kind of pouring the water out of the bucket like an Aquarius symbol. And I said, that's nice. And then I stopped looking and I looked back out the window again. And all of a sudden my husband, Reggie Bush, is out there and he's gearing up and getting ready to play like a practice game of football. And he's so excited. He's pulling up on the fence, getting warmed up and everything. And all of a sudden I see these huge football players and they're walking over to him, and I'm thinking in a dream, like, these guys don't look very nice. So they're coming up to him and they start grabbing him and choking him and throwing him down on the ground and everything. And he can barely breathe. And his coach comes up to him and he's yelling at him. He's like, why are you here? You don't belong here. What are you doing here? You're just like a waste. And Reggie doesn't say anything because he can't breathe, but he's looking up at the guy like, I'm here because I'm here to play, and I'm not a quitter. That's why I'm here. Then all of a sudden we're downstairs in my grandmother's house, And I'm sitting in the kitchen with my mom and one of my friends from work. And we're apparently discussing my sister's business cards and how unprofessional they look. She took two pieces of construction paper and glued them together and called it a business card. And I was extremely upset in the dream. And so I'm talking to Carrie and she shows me these blank white business cards. And I said, yes, she could have even printed her business cards on that if she's worried about the cost and how expensive it will be. So Carrie and I agree. All of a sudden, I have this strong sense in the dream that my grandmother's coming. And my mom is sitting at the kitchen table, and she's naked. And she has a slip, like a dress slip, around her ankles. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, you better go in there and get some clothes on because Granny's coming. So I say that to her. And I don't want any part of this. So I'm tiptoeing up the stairs, like trying to get away. And I hear my grandmother's voice, and she says, you can't hide from me. You can't hide your sneakiness from me. So I just tiptoe and I ignore her and I go up the stairs. My grandfather, my deceased grandfather, is sitting in the living room. So he says, I say, hi, Pop-Pop. He says, hi. And then he all of a sudden starts laughing hysterically. And I'm saying, well, what is so funny? And he goes, can you believe this? Can you believe this hot dog cart is sitting in the middle of this living room? And I'm thinking to myself in the dream, I'm like, that's more strange than funny, but okay. So I look over to the left-hand side, and there's another couch there, and there's this ventriloquist doll sitting there, and it looks just like him, down to the clothes and everything. And I thought that was kind of strange, too. And then I woke up.
Did you wake up laughing?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad throughout all of that all these fearful things turned into laughter by the time you woke up. Oh, brilliant recall, Renee. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay, so I've got lots and lots of questions. Well, a few questions before we go into it, which I'm sure you anticipated. At the beginning, did you say that in the dream that your husband is Reggie Bush or he is actually your husband?
No, he's a famous football player. He's not my
husband. And yeah, I just thought, well, he might have been your husband anyway, but I just checked. Yeah. Okay. You never know. So he was the only person in your dream that you didn't know that wasn't a member of your family?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And I'm just going to get a few little personality traits for some of the key players in your dream before we go in.
Sure.
Yeah, so Reggie Bush, apart from being famous, which three words would you give to describe his personality or approach to life?
Dedicated, hardworking, and driven.
Ah, I think we're onto it already. Okay. And just only other two characters I'm going to ask for. One is your sister, Carrie. What three words would you give for her?
Well, Carrie was my friend.
Oh, friend.
From work.
Yeah.
And my sister was Angelica, the one that was sitting in the room.
Okay, right. I got them confused there. So the one with the business cards was Angelica, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
The three words for Angelica to describe her personality.
Kind of passes responsibility. Mm-hmm. Doesn't want to confront things. And whiny, like... yeah, like whiny,
okay.
Just, yeah.
And lastly, grandmother. Which three words?
She's very she's strict.
Mm-hmm.
Very restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
And just angry and most of the time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that just gives us some anchoring to begin with, which I'll bring in as we go. Renee, in that huge and lovely long dream, what you often get with long dreams is a kind of recurring theme running through the dream. And I'll explain and show you what that is. And often we call that in a dream a motif. It's like a dream tries this way and then it goes in another slightly variation on the theme and then a variation on the theme. And that's the motif. And one of the motifs in your dream was hiding and being upfront about something. So right at the beginning of the dream, you walk in when you were in the church, you walked past your daughter and you didn't want her to see you. And I'll ask you why later, but just for the moment, you didn't want her to see you. So that's kind of like, it's almost like hiding. And then, hey, you're right up the front and you've got her in your arms and you're right in front of everybody. So that's open. Mm-hmm. The same later on in the dream, when you go to, the back of the church, and you go into your home, and there was elements of hiding there on quite a number of occasions. You know, I'd hope that grim reaper mist won't get me, like hiding from it. Oh no, it's got me, I'm out there now. Right. And there were a few others which I've actually forgotten at the moment, but we'll come to them as we go through it. You'll see that was quite a theme. So one of the things that your dream was addressing was about how much to keep hidden and why you might tend to hide things in your life and how much to bring out. And, you know, and right there, sitting right out front, right at the beginning of the dream, we've got Reggie Bush, who, of course, is right out there. I mean, it's really hard to hide when you're famous. He's out there. So we're probably looking at what you would like to bring out in some sense and why you keep that inside. So that's kind of like, that's one of many, many themes going through your dreams. But when did you have this dream?
It was about a month ago.
About a month ago. So the dream, you know, as with all dreams, are really reflecting the day or two before you had that dream. So, you know, as we go through this interpretation, just shift your mind back a month and, you know, have a think about what might have been happening then. Now, another big thing that happened in your dream was that we started at the church and then we kept going back. First, we went to the back of the church, and then that back of the church took you back to people that used to be alive that are now deceased. And then that took you back to your childhood home. So we kept going back in time, in a sense, there in the dream. And what that will often mean is that when, although the dream is reflecting the last day or two of your own conscious and unconscious experiences, in that dream, you're comparing everything that happened in that last couple of days to everything that's happened in your entire life. So whatever issues were pertinent at the time of your dream, the rest of that dream took you back to some of the origins of those issues. So we know that what was going on for you at the time of that dream does stem back to when you were in that childhood home, for example, and stems back very, 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 very strongly to influences of your, oh, beautiful, strict, very restrictive, angry grandmother. And even when she's passed and gone, she's sitting there haunting you at the back of the church as well. Yep. Yes. And haunting your poor mother with the slit in her dress. So we know that even while you're awake and a strong woman awake, your unconscious is still heavily influenced by, but what will grandmother think? And we're going to, I mean, grandmother definitely probably wouldn't approve of Reggie Bush, would she?
She probably would.
Oh, would she?
Actually.
Why would she approve of him?
Because he's not famous, but because he's accomplished. Like, he's done a lot in his life. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's good. And so he's done a lot. He's dedicated. He's hardworking. He's driven. And so grandmother, in being strict, her strictness was around achieving and accomplishing things in life. Then okay. And why was she angry? Do you have any?
Maybe, I guess, because her childhood wasn't so good, so she kind of probably brought up the same kind of patterns from her childhood and into her life, and she just was, everything was no, 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 you can't, you're restricted, you can't do it.
Yeah, you can't, but the one thing you can do is accomplish. That's an odd thing.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Okay, because another part of the dream towards the end where you're looking at the business card, Angelica's business card, and you're basically thinking, oh, that's a bit sloppy. You know, could do that so much better than that. That's a kind of hardworking, driven, that's more Reggie Bush kind of thing, you know. Oh, you should be dedicated to what you're doing. Should be up there. Should be out there. Business card is about being out there and getting the formula right as well. You can't just toss off any old business card. It's got to be really good, you know.
Right.
And as you say, Angelica sometimes passes responsibility. Maybe doesn't want to confront things. So she's a little bit in hiding. Someone that doesn't want to confront things is a little bit in hiding.
Yes. Right. Absolutely.
And when in the dream you, and I know I'm jumping all over the place, but that's kind of the way dream analysis goes. when you were back in the dream going, my thumb, can you see my thumb? And she just didn't really care, wasn't really interested. That was her hiding from it too. Like, I don't want to know about your pain. Thank you very much.
Right.
So, you know, there's all these things. But in the things that are out there and out front, or that you wish were, like the business card, it's like they need dedication, hardworking, driven. Grandmother would be happy if people accomplish. You're unhappy with Angelica's business card because she didn't do a good job on it. So there's kind of right. all that kind of, you know, that hiding versus being out there seems to be around. If you're going to be out there, you got to do it properly. Right? Got to do it properly. Reggie Bush, for example. Now, at the beginning of your dream, you're married to Reggie Bush, and at the end of your dream too. And so who your partner is in a dream, if you're a woman, that male partner really usually reflects more your male side. That's your, or how you see it at the time of your dream. So that's your left brain or your yang as opposed to yin. It's how you approach the world out there. Whereas, of course, mm-hmm. the female's more how you approach the world in here. So again, we've got that theme of, yep, I'm looking at what's out there and doing it properly and getting myself out there. And how I see myself at the time of this dream is kind of like Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush is me. That's not Renee. That's Reggie Bush. That's me. That's how I want to be. And so let's go back to the very beginning of the dream. Now you're in the church. So do you go to, is church part of your life?
No, not at all. I haven't been to church in a long time.
Okay. So this church is more a symbol of your spiritual self, your spirituality, rather than your religious beliefs.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So you're in a church, which is like your, if the church was in the past in the dream, we might be looking at, you know, a church that you were brought up in, but this is in the present day at the beginning of the dream. So what's right at the top of a dream, the opening of a dream, is often, this is the situation today that we're talking about. So right at the top of your dream, we've got what I'm talking about here is I'm looking at my spirituality. I'm somehow trying to get something about my spirituality or my quest for spirituality out in the world. That's Reggie Bush right at the front of the church. But I've got a bit of reticence. I don't want my daughter to see me. Until then, you decide, yes, it is okay. So there's a little bit of reticence at the beginning of, what would it be? Hiding from the female side of yourself. That's the daughter in the dreams. That's a really, really weird thing, but I'm going to get my head around it. It's almost like, yeah, the female side of yourself, which is the soft, creative, actually the spiritual side, may have more to express in the world than you would like it to. And you may be thinking, look, I am interested in expressing something about my spirituality or maybe a spiritual business. You may be involved in a spiritual business, but I want to keep this really like business-like. I don't really want anybody to perhaps see the real me. I'm trying to keep this kind of business-like. Although straight away, then after you sort of go through that, you then decide, oh, no, look, and you pick up the little girl and she hugs Reggie Bush and everything's okay. So right at the beginning, it's almost like in the couple of days before the dream, that was a conflict and you probably overcame it and got, no, right now, look, I'm just going to show everything here. So so far, how are we going?
Very good. Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm now going to say, going from that, the fact that you must have in the last 2 days before the dream had that breakthrough, which is actually quite a big breakthrough. I'm willing to let everybody see the real me a little bit more in this. I'm now just going to shoot to the end of the dream where there were lots of, it was funny. Your grandfather was talking about the hot dog cart in the middle of the lounge room and he was laughing and you woke up laughing. Now, when you laugh in a dream, when something is incredibly stupidly funny in a dream, and especially when you wake up still laughing, it's often because unconsciously in your dream, you've suddenly seen the funny side of a way that you used to be and you've released it.
Got it.
Yeah. Because everything's incredibly funny. When we let go of a limitation or an old belief and we let it go, we just can't believe. It's like always, well, how stupid was I? Not that you were. It's like, how could I have believed that all my life? How funny. That is so, that's really. So we know that by the end of the dream, you did major release, really let something go, really saw the funny side and it was gone. So what we're really keen to look at here is what happened in the middle section of your dream that really moved from the breakthrough you had as you went to sleep about, yeah, I'm going to bring more of me into this, to really letting it go. And that's why we went back through all the past and looked through all these various issues. And although you've let it go, it's actually good for you to from this interpretation to take away an awareness of all these issues that have in the past limited this aspect of how much do I want to be out there, so that if they do ever rear their heads a little bit, you can go with awareness, ha-ha, got you. Okay. Any questions at this stage before we go deeper?
No, not at all. I get exactly what you're saying. There's a lot of things that I have been hiding that I've been trying to bring out. I'm a quiet person, and I've kind of been trying to speak up more and get myself out there more. So there's several different aspects. I can definitely see what you're saying.
Okay, that's great. But let's just jump to the end with this hot dog cart.
Yeah, that's the part I want to really know.
Okay, you don't have any personal association with that either. If there was a hot dog cart vendor, and it wasn't your grandfather, just a generalized hot dog cart vendor, without thinking too much about this, what would his or her personality be?
Prepared. Hard worker, because he has to push the cart around. I guess works under pressure.
Under pressure. Okay. So you can see the similarity to some of the issues we've already been talking about there. So your grandfather's really saying, isn't this silly? Laugh, laugh, laugh. Look at this hot dog cart in our lounge room. He's saying, look at this. How funny is this? Prepared, hard worker, have to really push to make things happen. Like he has to push the cart under pressure. And those are, because that's presented by your grandfather in the dream, I would imagine that he felt those kind of vibes from your grandmother. He probably felt under pressure.
Yeah, definitely.
Did he respond?
She kind
you go.
Bossed him around a little bit, like he did what she told him to do, okay. Like that kind of.
Was he the hot dog cart that she pushed around?
Could be. We used to call him, it's so funny, we used to call him a cool cat, and I just thought hot dog and cool cat, it was just.
Yeah, that is very good. So maybe, why did you call him a cool cat? Can you remember why?
Because he was just so laid back, and he didn't really let too much bother him. He didn't really let a lot of things get to him. He was just a cool, cool cat. He put his shades on and was just cool, cool.
And was he, do you think, he sounds gorgeous. Was he totally and absolutely cool, or do you think there was still a raging hot dog underneath that he was keeping at bay?
I think that he was putting on the face of being cool, and he was kind of like just wanted to let go.
Yeah, that's the hard one, isn't it, for a lot of issues in life. It's that, how do you actually, what's the difference between being the cool cat because you're keeping, you know, the hot dog under pressure, anger under pressure, and living your life like that, which can be, you know, it can certainly reduce the stress, but it sometimes doesn't enable you to fully express yourself, because there's you're too busy pushing this thing down, maybe like pushing a hot dog cart as well. Whereas if you can actually look at, if your grandfather, for example, could have looked at that anger, found a way, whether or not he addressed it with your grandmother, whether he could just find a way within himself to say, yes, I do have anger, and I've had enough of this, let me look at this, let me examine it, let me explore it, feel it in a room by myself, let it go, and then be the totally cool cat, because you can be cool without the added pressure of keeping the hot dog down. And when you're that kind of cool cat, it's genuine, you know, and you've got the extra energy that you can put into living you know, a fully authentic life, I guess, and expressing yourself totally without fear of expressing the anger that's underneath.
Right. Yeah, I got that.
Yeah. So my guess that would be his dynamics, and my guess is that why the grandfather and grandmother would have been in your dream, Renee, because at an unconscious level that dynamic was still affecting you, and it's like, you know, so until the couple of days before your dream, one of the things that may have been holding you back from totally 100% releasing and expressing yourself and speaking out in the world, as you have said, might have been that feeling of, I can do this, I can be cool cat S. I can be cool cat, but I've got a hot dog underneath. Whereas if you, once you let that hot dog go, you can be totally cool cat and totally free to express yourself without having to push anything down or push hot dog cart down.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. And it's such hard work pushing something down, as well as, you know, that extra level that we've got in your dream of the programming, basically, from your grandmother, that you've got to be strict, you've got to be dedicated, you've got to be hardworking, you've got to achieve, because that's the only way I'm going to prove of you. You know, so it's kind of like hard work all around. You've got to be totally perfect and,
No C's here, right?
Yeah.
No C's, all A's, right?
That's right, yeah. And that's, you know, there's pluses and minuses for that, but mostly minuses. Now, I mean, you know, you've got Reggie Bush down there as dedicated and hardworking and driven. Would you say that he would be successful in a different way if he just stepped back the drive slightly, or does he really need that drive to do what he does?
I think that if he stepped back a little bit, he could probably play the game more rather than going after trophies and awards and stuff like that. He can really get a sense of really playing the game for fun and not doing it to achieve greatness, yeah. Like that type of thing.
That's absolutely fantastic. So, you know, if you can see that for somebody that you pretty much know well from the media, and you know well from being his wife in your dream, you can apply the same to yourself, which is the bottom, you know, one of the bottom lines of the dream. And, you know, and your grandfather would totally underline that as well. And that's why you've got your sister Angelica in the dream. It's like she's the opposite extreme. It's like, hang on a minute, you're thinking, I don't want to be quite as undedicated or quite right. as that, like, you know, I'm not going there. Which hey Angelica, if you're listening, hey, you phone with your dream. And we all have that, you know, often when we're working at one extreme of an issue, which you've been doing with you know, strict, dedicated, hardworking, driven, a student, as you've said there too, we're often in that opposite extreme because we're trying to get far away from the other extreme. It's more that we rather than being driven by the carrot of the trophies, for example, to use the footballer analogy there, in your life, you may be more driven by getting away from being like Angelica's represented in the dream. Like, I don't want to be like that. Therefore, I'm going to be really, really hardworking.
Got it.
So it's running from life. You know, there's this thing of it, when you set a goal in life, is it setting a goal that you want and then moving towards it? Or is the goal all about what you're running away from? It's the carrot and the stick with the donkey. You know, is the donkey motivated by the stick that's beating him, what you're frightened of? Or is it motivated by the carrot in front? All right. And so with any dream, not just yours, but anybody's, when you've got a big issue like that, on the one hand, hard work, dedicated, achieving, a student, and on the other end, you know, represented by Angelica in the dream, doesn't want to confront stuff. You know, passing responsibility, whinging about it instead of proactively doing something about it. Though what you seem to have in your dream is trying to get away from that. I really, really, really do not want to be like that. So if you look back in your life, particularly to your childhood home, as well as the grandmother influence, there was probably another influence there of, I really don't want to be like that. It might have been your grandfather before he learned to be a cool cat. I don't know. Might have been your mum. I don't know. But it's like, I'm not going to be like that. And when you solve an issue, as I feel that you did beautifully in your dream and in your life there, you come back from that extreme hardworking and you feel more comfortable about moving towards the Angelica point of view but not being that. You're more like coming back to a middle point where you're neither working too hard or not working at all. You've just got a lovely balance. And as you say, if you were Reggie Brooks in that situation with that more balance, you've then got a kind of wilder field, excuse the pun, to play and to, you know, rather than a narrow restrictive vision of I've got to do this with A plus, it opens up the field. Right. Oh, that, you know, there's more things I can do here. And that's probably why at the end of the dream there, and I know we're missing out this big dramatic bit in the middle, which we're going to come back to, but it's probably why at the end of the dream there, Reggie Bush was having difficulty being accepted into the team, and he was saying, I'm not a quitter. You know, he couldn't breathe properly, and he was making an... Go on.
No, I was just saying it was like he was the rookie, and they were like beating up on him.
All right, okay. And with all that experience behind him, he'd hardly be the rookie, would he? So, all right, so it's almost like you then, in a sense, have felt that no matter how well you perform and no matter how A-plus student you are, et cetera, you still feel unconsciously like the rookie and not able to really play your part. And you're going, I'm not a quitter, I'm not a quitter, because grandma said, never quit. And it's become, and this is like the stick on the donkey. No, I'm not a quitter. I'm not a quitter. I'm not a quitter. Rather than looking at where you want to go to, you know. So it's part of this is letting go of any unconscious programming of I'm not a quitter. It's not about what you don't quit. It's about what you choose to do. Oh, I think that's so important. I'm just going to say it again. It's not about what you don't quit. It's about what you choose to do.
I got it.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's kind of like, and once Reggie Bush gets that, you know, and you've now got that, he and you can play your part, and play is the operative word, and enjoy what you're putting out now into the world. And you won't feel that kind of, I can't breathe, I'm not good enough, I'm not a rookie. I've been in this for however long you've been in. I don't know what it is that you do, but we might find that out later. But, you know, I've been in this for so long. I am not a rookie. So I just want to now address this middle bit, unless you've got any other questions or input. I want to do the, you know, the spooky bit in the middle. But have you got any other questions at this stage or insights?
No, not at all. You can go right ahead.
Okay. We've got this bit in the middle with the when you go back to the childhood home, and there's the mist that reminds you of a Grim Reaper kind of feeling. And he or it goes for your hand. Was it your right hand or your left?
I believe it was my left hand.
Left hand, okay. And he basically attacked the fingers, and then, but it was the thumb that let go of the fingers eventually, but it was the thumb that was hurt, wasn't it? Yeah,
yes.
And which your sister wouldn't recognize. So it took place in the childhood home. Were you in that childhood home all your childhood, or just for specific years?
No, mostly all of it, all the way up until about 17, 18 years old.
Okay, how old did your sister appear to be in the dream? Her current age or younger?
Maybe a little bit younger, maybe around 16, 17. She's 21 now.
All right. So it, because you were in the house for such a long time, it's hard to pinpoint the exact time that the dream's taken you back to. But if you take her as being 16 in the dream, it may be taking you back to the time when she was 16, or maybe taking you back to the time when you were 16 and you lived in that house. And you let your hand, when you think about it, your hand is how you handle things and do things and create things. And you're not left-handed, are you?
No.
So your left hand is more, your right hand's the hand that really does the doing. So your left hand must be more for kind of like receiving. And the left side of the body in dreams usually refers to your female side, your inner world as well, because it's connected to your right brain. So it's kind of like the more creative spiritual side. So what you're doing in that dream is saying, okay, back in my childhood home days, maybe in general, or maybe when I was 16, or maybe when my sister was 16, there was a kind of vibe in the air. That's the Grim Reaper, a vibe in the air, something I couldn't see clearly, the mistiness, and yet I was somehow aware of it, that that hurt the way that I handled the inner world, my hand, that made it difficult for me to handle. Like maybe... like grandfather, I might have been a bit of a cool cat on the outside, but inside I was hurt and difficult to handle. And I guess the thumb, you could do without one or two fingers, but you really need the thumb to oppose the fingers to actually clutch and do things. And as babies, you suck the thumb as well. So it might be nurturing. And you've got your grandmother and mother in the kitchen later, which might be nurturing as well. So issues around that, maybe self-nurturing, hurt, no one acknowledging that you were hurt, no one acknowledging pain.
And that's helpful.
Yeah, and so maybe then as you encourage your mum at the end of the dream, get dressed, grandma can't see you like this. I mean, you can't, grandma can't see this vulnerable aspect of you. Shouldn't be Renee, you know, it's not about needing to nurture nobody yourself. Nobody should be seeing this pain. Let it, you know, hide it, do the hot dog thing, be a cool cat. And the fact that last thing, the fact that Angelica wouldn't acknowledge that you were hurt in the dream, it, you know, and you've described her personality as basically doesn't want to confront things. So that's taking you back to saying when you were that age, one of the things you did apart from hiding that after trying to get everybody's attention for the fact that you were emotionally hurt and finding things difficult to handle inside, another voice took over, which was maybe I don't want to face this. And it went unconscious. And that's kind of like the Angelica aspect. It went unconscious. You became more cool cat. It went from there.
Yeah.
And because it was misty in the dream, it was the Grim Reaper, of course, is death of the old, birth of the new. It was almost like the magic that you did in the couple of days before you had this dream, Renee, somehow enabled you to go back to the past and see through the mist and understand this. And all I've done in this interpretation is cleared the mist a little and laid it out a little bit more firmly and obviously than you actually got it in your dream.
Right.
So did we miss anything in the riding in the sky and the water bearer? Okay, so there was a whole run of things there of like with the Grim Reaper, the writing that looked to be gold but was actually quite frightening, premonitionary kind of, you know, World Trade Center calamity disaster kind of things.
Yeah.
And yet it wasn't black writing, it was gold. It's almost, how do I handle this? It's almost like you may feel that you had a precognitive element to or ability to see the future but weren't sure how to handle it. It's like this should be golden, but it's not. I'm not sure about that. But what you actually did in the dream was eventually quieten or change all the things that seemed to be fearful or calamitous, like the bad writing in the sky, into the water bearer. You know, it's, you use water to pour on oil, which, you know, to pour on angry waters. You use water to soothe, you use water to nourish. Water is emotions. Are you Aquarius?
No, my grandmother is.
So what you did in your dream, and here's your magic, you looked up in the sky and you saw perhaps in those what I was calling precognitive words, World Trade Center, calamity, disaster, whatever it was, you saw your grandmother's golden words that were imprinted on you from childhood. You will remember these things, fear these. And what you did in the dream was transform that into the gentler side of your grandmother, the water bearer, which nobody ever saw.
Got it. Wow.
So that's my take on your dream. What do you think?
I think it's excellent. I agree with everything that you're saying. She definitely had that kind of personality, that strict, can't fail, you got to do it right, and don't dare show her that you're in any kind of pain or hurt or crying or anything like that. Just suck it up and get on with it. I agree.
And a month ago, did you feel that something clicked just before your dream to begin to change that?
Yeah, I've realized that I've been holding on to a lot of things from my past, and I've kind of said, you know, if I want to live and enjoy life, then I got to let some of that stuff go. And I just can't keep living based on what she used to tell me. I'm me, you know, and she's no longer here, so I can live my life the way I want to live it.
Isn't that wonderful? And isn't that funny the way that, you know, so many of us do that? And I've encountered this with a lot of work with people with their dreams, that you get to that point where someone that has kind of, you know, majorly influenced your life in a challenging way dies. And then later on, the person will say, well, look, they're not, as you just said here, you know, they're not there and here anymore, so I can do what I want. And then that begs the question, why didn't I do that when they were alive? Like, it was okay too.
Yeah.
I'm a person as well. Well, you've obviously done fantastic, been doing some fantastic personal development and spiritual work on yourself. So well done there.
Thank you.
I'm going to move to do a dream alchemy practice on this. But as always with these, you know, when I have a guest on the show, Renee, you know, I always say this is confidential and it 100% totally is. But if there comes a point where you think to yourself, well, look, I have got a business card. I want to get out in the world and I'm quite happy to do that. Just let me know either now while we speak or later and I can blog a link to what it is you're doing and effectively help your big business card. But by the same token, this is confidential and there's absolutely no need to do that. I'm just offering that help if you'd like it.
Thank you.
Now, with the alchemy, what we've got to do here is, do you feel in looking at everything I said there that you have now achieved those transformations, or is there something there that you would still like to do a little bit of work on through alchemy?
I think that what you said, it kind of hit everything. But what I would like to do a little bit of work on, which I think is kind of in the same context of this dream, is I've been pulling back sometimes with kind of getting out there and showing myself to the world because I guess I'm afraid to fail, like that kind of thing. So if I can work on that a little bit.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Well, let's have a look in the dream. Let's pull out a particular part of the dream where it would be good to do that. The business, I mean, I'm drawn straight away, but I'm not sure if it's the best place to go to Angelica's business card in the dream. The dream with Angelica's business card, was that about an actual business that she's got or was it a totally dream business?
It is actually about she had cards that she glued two pieces of paper together for her hair braiding company.
Okay. I'm just going to run this past you. This isn't a visualization dream alchemy. This would be an artwork one, but it's not an A-plus student artwork. It's one that you just do yourself. Okay. And it doesn't matter if it's cards glued together in this place. I'm just running this past you. What if, remember, Angelica in the dream represents a part of yourself that you've been running away from that would just not be the A-plus student, but would just get it done anyway, even if but would just do it. But she needs help in actually getting her proper business card out there without, you know, to really express who she is and be fantastic about the work she does and make a really good job of it, but be a player rather than a restricted A-plus student. So what I'm thinking is that you could do an artwork whereby you design a card for Angelica. You don't have to give it to her. She doesn't even have to know about this, but you design a card for Angelica. So you put everything that you've got into not thinking about yourself, but thinking about how would I put Angelica out in the world? Because if you can turn someone that you see as passes responsibility, doesn't want to confront things and whines and sticks together any old crappy business card into a beautiful business card that really, you know, shows her best side without being an A-plus student, what that would be doing in doing the alchemy is working on that unconscious part of yourself that you're trying to run away from, transforming it so you don't have to run so far from it. Are you with me?
Yes, absolutely.
And then once you've done that, and you know, so many of us are so good at seeing things for other people and not for ourselves. You know, we can all look at someone else that's got a business and say, you know, you should be doing this. If you just did that, it would be so da 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 da. But me, oh no, I've got to do it the hard way. I've got to do it like this. So if you put all your thought and effort into designing as a dream alchemy practice a business card for Angelica, and then when you've done that, having then transformed a lot of those issues within yourself, you then turn around and go, okay, how would I do a new business card for me, you, Renee, that is a new business card that doesn't say I'm an A+, it doesn't say I'm a rookie, it doesn't say I'm not a quitter, it doesn't say I'm a cool cat with a hot dog cart underneath. It says I'm a player, I'm absolutely brilliant at what I do. I'm just so absolutely wonderfully brilliant, but not in an A-plus way. I'm just, I'm a wide field, exceptional player, and I'm very comfortable with all of that. Do you know the kind of line of thought that I'm going along?
Absolutely.
Can you do that?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, that's you. You've got an artwork dream alchemy practice to do, not a visualization. And I think that's all you need. And if ever you do find things getting a little bit tough, I've just got one little suggestion, and it's not a dream alchemy practice. It's just a little glimmer of gold. And it's, if things start to get too tough or you catch yourself being hardworking, just flick back in your memory to having a very good laugh with your grandfather about that hot dog cart vendor. And laugh it off and go, right, I'm not the hot dog car vendor. Let me just reframe where I'm up to here.
Got it. Okay.
And as with all guests, you know, either let me know how you're going if you want to be totally confidential about it, or as time goes on, let me know what you're happy to share with our listeners and on the blog so that everybody gets to find out what happened next.
Got it.
Thank you so much, Renee, for sharing your dream today. You've brought a lot of laughter and light there, and as often I'm sure that you've actually given a lot of listeners a lot of food for thought, hot dogs or otherwise. And and I think you'll find a few people going off and redesigning their business cards and having another think about how to be a player rather than not a quitter.
Thank you so much.
I, and probably you, will never be able to look at a hot dog vendor in the same way ever again. And at least we'll appreciate how much hard work they have to do to get that cart there and sell the hot dogs. And I bet we've all now got that connection in our minds. We'll look at a hot dog vendor and we'll go, cool cat, hot dog, cool cat, hot dog. I'm not sure. Anyway, talking about dogs, and I didn't actually realize that was such a good segue. Margaret, my guest on episode 55, has sent in her update, and I've written it up a bit and to help you understand the background of it. And I actually blogged this a couple of days ago, so I'm just going to read you the blog so that you can be updated with what happened with Margaret. And what happens with so many of our guests that appear on the show is that they contact me afterwards to let me know what wonderful things have happened in their lives. And sometimes they like to keep that confidential, and sometimes they like to share bits of it with you. So here are some bits of what happened for Margaret since she was on the show 10 weeks ago. And I call this unleashed. So Margaret began, where do I start? So much has happened. The dream we discussed was a recurring dream theme. It turned out to be about how I've needed to manipulate situations so I can do what I want or show who I truly am. I realized that I had never felt I would be accepted or understood in just being who I am. Now, Margaret had this recurring dream theme for 10 years, but this time it had a positive ending. It marked a deep change that occurred in the days leading up to the dream. So Margaret continued, the dream was evidence that a previous alchemy I had done had worked its magic. It healed and transformed this belief. Now, Margaret's dream featured a dog at a vet surgery, and I set her a dream alchemy practice based on artwork. She had to create a certificate signed by Tom, the veterinarian, from her dream. And in the days following the podcast, while she was doing this artwork, she experienced a synchronicity. And this is what she said. A beautiful, friendly, lost, staffy male dog approached my front door. He was obviously much loved. I gave him some water and went for a walk with him. I thought he might be able to find his direction home, but this was not successful. He followed me back home to my house. I did think of keeping him, but he was owned and loved by someone else. I phoned the local vet and took him there as they could scan for a microchip and find the owners. So, you see, synchronicities come up when you're experiencing deep change, and they usually involve symbols that your unconscious mind has expressed in a dream. And this is how Margaret put it. This is synchronicity at its best. I've always loved the personality of the Staffordshire Bull Terrier. This dog was so loving and not afraid of receiving help from me. It seemed like he knew he had to trust and surrender to me to find his way home, very much like me at the time. So although this was a dream that reflected recent positive change for Margaret, our discussion during the podcast uncovered deeper levels that led her to new breakthroughs. She said, Following this path of self-development allowed me to identify a much deeper negative belief. I have since pinpointed and named the core belief that has caused me to experience judgment, fear, and the need to control. And when I faced and acknowledged this core negative belief, I allowed myself to heal. I am already experiencing abundance, love, peace, and acceptance, and I know that these positives will increase over time. And Margaret also noticed that her creativity increased as a result of these changes. She said, "I'm confident enough to follow what I would like to create without the need to manipulate. I have wanted to self-publish a book that is a collection of children's quotes about how they perceive their parents and what it is they enjoy or like best about mum and dad. In the past, I procrastinated with this due to fear and therefore created blockages. These blockages have now been removed, and I am proactively gathering my quotes. My thinking has shifted from, how can I do this, I can't get access to enough children, blah, 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 to, I am only limited by my thinking, so change my thinking. This has led to getting the community involved, and I am having a lot of fun working on this project. A large percentage of profit from sales will go to the charity Act for Kids. And several local businesses have donated prizes, so all the children's responses will enter into a draw. Never, ever did I think I would have the confidence and the ability to do something like this." So that's great update from Margaret, and I've offered to share the link to Margaret's project so you can have a look and give her your support. And Margaret agreed, and she said, "If you have children, I'd love it if they could participate." Now, her blog is, and I will put the link to this, or you can go to my blog at janetheresa.com to get the link to this, and you can also find the link on the podcast blog that goes with today's podcast. But I will read out the link to Margaret's project blog for you. It's www.throughourchildrenseyes.blogspot.com. So that's all one word, throughourchildrenseyes.blogspot.com. Well, that's quite a long show, but thank you for listening to it all, and I'm sure you found plenty to think about and take to heart over the next week. If you'd like to visit either of my websites, you can go to dream.net.au for lots of free resources, information, sign up for our free dream tips, and find out details about how to consult me privately about your own special dreams. Or you can go to my blog at janetheresa.com or join us on Facebook. You know where to look. Have a lovely week, and I'll see you next Friday for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.